Welcome to Entrepreneur of the Week. Today we're going to interview Bob Cook from the Pro Group in Delta, serving Richmond, Ladner, Tawasin area, White Rock area, as he gives us the inside scoop on a 33% increase in prices just experienced in the residential market in Richmond. So let's go say hi to Bob right now.
I'm doing great, thank you, Bill. How are you?
So, Bob, you're with RE/MAX, and you have been for a lot of years. You want to give us a little bit of understanding of how long you've been around?
Yeah, I've been selling real estate in this area, same area, since 1989, joined RE/MAX in 1995, and have been working with RE/MAX Pro Group Realty that has offices in Ladner and Tawasin, and formerly had an office in Richmond. Our office is now affiliated with another RE/MAX franchise, RE/MAX West Coast, but we work both communities equally.
Good. Now, Bob, the reason why we're here is we got a frenzy going on with, I'm going to call it the mainland Chinese buyer, and I know it is maybe a bit more broad spectrum than that, but we're all looking back in shock, and I'm just going to read some numbers here and see if you can substantiate these a little bit. So we've spent the last 3 or 4 days doing some detailed analysis here on the Richmond area. Last spring was our strongest 6 months ever. We had an 18% increase in prices in the spring of 2010, springs to June 30th. Already, we're looking at a 33% increase. Like, this is an all-time record. Now, let's just go over the numbers a little bit. First of all, on the actual number of sales to new listings ratio is way out of whack. There have basically been very, very few listings come on in December and January, but there certainly have been lots of or a reasonable amount of sales. So that's where I see a big issue. There's just not enough listings to support the amount of sales, number one.
That's right. Supply and demand is imbalanced.
Yes. So what's your opinion on this? We've already had a luxury of having a little bit of a talk a few days ago, and you mentioned, in fact, China appears to have changed some rules on, we'll call it, flipping in mainland China, and that has driven some investors towards the waterfront properties in British Columbia. So why don't you go ahead and explain what your understanding of what's going on?
Well, our take on it is we're trying to simplify it, too, because it can get complicated. But the mere fact of the matter is that you have an awful lot of wealthy people in China that are looking for safe havens to invest their money. Canada is still known as a positive place to be, a positive place to visit, and now a positive place to do business and invest in. And we have plane loads of Asians coming into Greater Vancouver, specifically the downtown areas, and moving out to Richmond. As you know, Richmond has always been popular with Asians, but even more now so. And I have been involved personally with 4 cases in the last month alone where single-family dwelling properties that were evaluated in mid-January at about $750,000. The owners decided and the realtor decided to wait and see because they had a feeling of some frenzy of activities. They waited 2.5 weeks. They then relisted the property for $880,000, which was $130,000 more than they originally intended to list it for. And it sold for $60,000 more than the $880,000 price.
Right.
So we're now getting all cash, no subjects, and in a multiple offer competing situation, all Asian purchasers that were visiting here from out of the country. And these people are here. They have lots of money. They're looking for single-family homes, and they're spending it like crazy. And because of this, we're seeing values of homes just skyrocket in an extremely short period of time, and we're sitting back trying to advise potential home sellers to say, who are asking us, well, what should we do? What should we list it at? And we're going, well, I don't know. The one down the street just sold for this tremendous price. Your house is just as good. Where do we go? And this is actual experience we're having right now in February of 2011.
Now, by the way, January 15th, it hadn't yet happened. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
I would say this frenzy has started in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
For Richmond, it had happened previously in the greater Vancouver area of Dunbar, Kitsilano, Kerrisdale, sort of that Main Street to Oak Street corridor in there. They're getting lots of action down there.
Okay, now the second.
This is not the case in condos, by the way.
Yeah.
Single family homes only.
Right. Now, by the way, let's just go over a couple of things. First of all, is it sustainable? Is it going to continue? Now, we've seen a government change in mainland China. Now, that rule's changed. So that shows that there is truly a change in buyers. And do you see any reason why this shouldn't extend in for the next 6 months? What is your opinion? Got any thoughts there on how much?
It's an educated guess, but our indications are that we still see a strong influx of people moving money into this country for the balance of 2011. And I don't see. I'm hoping it's not going to be the same fanatical feeding frenzy, but. I think it's going to level off and stabilize, but I think we're going to have a strong influx of Asian buyers that are going to look for property for the balance of 2011.
Okay. Now, the second question is, now, Bob, you and I go back a lot of years, but it used to be at a point that people, the original builders or owners of homes in Richmond, when they sold, they might move out to Burnaby, they might move out to eventually to Coquitlam, to Surrey, to Abbotsford, to Chilliwack. Well,
yep.
Right now, I just did a little study on West Vancouver, and their numbers seem to be up 3% on actual prices, and their volume appears to be down. So they don't necessarily seem that money that's sold. Now, of course, it's a little early. Those people have just sold, so they will be buying maybe 3 weeks from now. So it's hard to see, but where do you think that'll filter to today? Think of your vendors that are selling. Where will they buy?
Yeah, it's a good question, because the standard theory has always been to sell high and buy low. And if I'm a person selling my home in Richmond and I've just made $900,000. It's pointless for me to repurchase in Richmond because I'm in the same feeding frenzy. I've gained nothing. So I want to move farther out from the center of the core of downtown Vancouver to take advantage of the monies and the gain that I have just materialized. So traditionally, our Ladner and Tawasin areas are, shall we say, farther out, and we see them moving into the, primarily going to the southeast. We don't see a lot of relocation from this corridor to the North Shore, North Van or West Van. We don't see that at all. We see them going to the Langley, Abbotsford, Chilliwack area and potentially the South Surrey corridor, or even South Delta. We have been involved in transactions from people in Richmond that have purchased homes in the Ladner and Tawasin area in the last 6 weeks that are doing that because they sold their home for $900-ish and they bought a home down here for $500-ish and they're very happy.
Now, by the way,
they're still only 35 minutes from the airport.
Now, by the way, we're once again trying to understand this, but for myself, over the years, I have had a lot of Asian customers buy in the Abbotsford area. And, Bob,
yep.
The reality, every single one of them has moved back west into Metro Town or back into Vancouver. And I'll be honest, they're not overly comfortable in Cowtown, okay? So
right.
They must enjoy, I'm going to say, the congestion, but also Richmond itself. Most restaurants have Cantonese on it today. Am I right or wrong? I mean,
that's correct. So, restaurants, street signs, everything. It's the Caucasian face in Richmond is now definitely a minority.
Yeah. So if you are having a vendor that is in fact of Chinese descent, I don't see them coming. Would they come to Langley ever? I mean, is that a possibility today or not?
I don't really know. It's hard to say, I think that there's still a lot of upside for Asians in Richmond, and I think that they already dominate that community and will continue to do so for another 5 to 10 years. I think there's lots. They're still building like crazy in Richmond. They've got developable land, even though it's primarily multifamily.
Okay.
And they're doing business in that area too. There's a good industrial park area for them to import and exports, and that's a lot of what's going on there.
And Bob, I think if anything we've observed over the last 20 or 30 years is Vancouver has ended up being very different in different pocket areas. So, like, for example, if North Korea sinks a battleship today and South Korea is nervous of a potential war, that money coming over, I'm going to say, ends up in probably a North Coquitlam, right? You know, I mean, I don't...
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. And remember that Vancouver is the gateway from the Pacific.
Yeah.
No matter what. You know, Japanese, Korean, Chinese, Australian, Malaysian, it doesn't really matter. The Philippines, that they like Canada versus as a first step, and they've got to come to Vancouver as the gateway, and they're not generally going to Toronto or the prairies. Some filter to that area, but it is a minority.
Yeah.
So they get here, and they're looking for people of their like culture.
Yeah.
And if they've already settled in that particular pocket, that's where they're going. They're comfortable
yeah,
there.
No, absolutely. Now, White Rock. The White Rock, first of all, White Rock is a very low population. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure it's under 25,000 population in total. It's
yep.
probably more like 17,000. But, you know, looking at White Rock, they had one single new listing in December in, you know, the general residential area. I mean, that's like nothing. And they had 15
yep.
sales. So, like, you have 15 sales with no new listings coming on, that's going to absolutely drive the market silly also. So we've seen that in White Rock. Now, I haven't had a chance to look at Tawas and Ladner area, but I'm assuming that whole little corridor is experiencing the same sort of thing. Like, what are your thoughts on the White Rock area?
There are some differences. White Rock, a tiny little hamlet sort of surrounded by the South Surrey corridor. And most of White Rock is not level, so it's a slope down to the water, which means you're dealing an awful lot with view property.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's a big dollar item, seven figures. And so it's a pretty select type market. So, I don't want to say it's like West Van, but a lot of West Van is on a slope as well and related to water views and escapes in that way. But you can, a lot of people down there don't know the difference between White Rock and South Surrey. They can cross the street and they're in one municipality and not the other. So we have
yeah.
to be very careful when we're looking at statistics because that data can be deceiving. But there is not enough product in the White Rock Central Corridor, and that's why White Rock as a municipality has been concentrating on condos and intensifying the density in the downtown core to help with population increases because they virtually have no developable land there anymore.
Right, right. No, well, overall, I mean, I've just heard actually talking to a client here in White Rock in the last couple of hours that she actually thinks that there's been two or three helicopters going overhead in the last few days that
yes.
she suspects.
I've heard that story.
She suspects are actually buyers, right?
Yeah. Now, I've heard the story of a realtor who's actually chartered helicopter flights and had multiple Asian couples inside the helicopter with an interpreter, and they've been driving North Van and White Rock, South Surrey areas looking at houses from the view side to say, that's one I like, that's one I like, that's one I like, and then if they're not for sale, they're even knocking on the doors.
Right, right. Now,
these are cash qualified people.
Now, Bob, I don't know if you broached the subject of flipping here, but was it you that said some of these contracts that are being written, it's actually being transferred to another buyer by the time it completes?
I have heard that, and I can tell you that within the last 30 days, I've had I'll call him an investor, visit me at an open house, just by coincidence, and he said he was there representing multiple purchasers.
Yeah.
He wanted to write an offer on that specific property that was being held open. And he wanted the term of the contract to say that the contract could be assigned to a third party of his choosing. And I found out later that they purchased four homes within the following 7 days.
Hmm.
Or, sorry, wrote offers on four different homes. And none of the homes were for him.
Okay, now, and I don't know what's happened there, but I'm assuming he buys something for $1 million and maybe he sells it at an inflated number of 1.1, but I have no idea. Is that what you're suspecting? I mean, is he...
I don't really know. I don't think that's the case, because the contract that we end up completing on is the same original number,
right,
as was originally negotiated, but I think he's been retained for a fee by these purchasers to go out and find product that's compatible to their wants and needs. So there's no question he's not doing this for free.
Right, right.
But whether the property is being flipped, I do not know.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I can tell you there are cases in Richmond right now where people have sold their homes, and we'll pick a figure of $800,000, 2 months or a month ago, and have now been asked by the realtor of the purchaser if the realtor can put his for sale sign on the front lawn. And the homeowner hasn't even moved out yet, and he's relisting the property for $150,000 more than what they just negotiated a month ago.
Hmm.
That's how fast the prices are going up in Richmond.
So, Bob, let's say we're trying
to... And the rich seller, of course, is all upset.
Yeah. Now, Bob...
He's saying, wait a minute, I gave it away.
And now, by the way, let's just say we're trying to protect the vendor here a little bit. Now, you've already mentioned that, you know, there's clients that say, well, Bob, what do we list that? And you go, gee, I don't know. Like, I mean, who does? Because it's so volatile. So here's just one particular thought. If you do a listing today, would you consider saying we will not take the first offer in the first hour, that, in fact, we will give it a three-day period in which the client can now accept, you know, have five
offers
come in? Yeah,
what's happening now is we are advising our clients, our sellers, to... let's agree on a selling strategy or a launch strategy. We specifically time the launch of the listing to maximize the exposure of the product to the planet, let alone MLS,
yeah,
local mediums, print mediums, open houses, real estate tours, etc., etc. And we put right in the listing, a condition of the listing is all no offers will be presented prior to a specific date and time.
Right. Okay.
So this gives the seller the best advantage to be exposed to the marketplace, to get the maximum return on the prospective offers that may come in, and you're trying to create a feeding frenzy so that the seller will benefit from that activity, and people will write fantastic offers for the seller because you're being retained by the seller to do the best for them.
Right.
So this is a common tactic we're seeing in hot markets right now, and that would be single-family homes, West Richmond. Doesn't apply in our segment out here in Ladner and Tawasin as much, so we don't rarely see that. A launching time period with presentations at a specific number of days after the launch is fairly normal now.
Right. Okay. Well, I think...
And you could end up with four, five, six. I know a case in Vancouver 2 months ago, or just before Christmas, property listed for sale for $1,020,000, and there were 31 offers, and it sold for 1.62.
Okay. Good.
And that's pretty rare, but that's what's happening down there.
Okay. Well, listen, Bob, I think for our industry in general, you said some pretty magic words, and that is, first of all, we really don't know what your home should sell for, and I don't think there's any realtor out there right now can say definitively your home is worth this much, because the buyers are new, and, you know, it's like changing almost daily here. So number one is to do your longer-term plan of, listen, we'll test the market with full exposure, and then we will know from that buyer group what your final price will be. So, you know...
Well, that's right. Bill and I, you and I both know, you have to sit down with your people and say, okay, today, based on what we know, based on the discussions we've had and the information that's available to us through our evaluation process, would you be happy selling your house in this range or at this number? And you'll negotiate a level of contentment that they have. And they say, boy, if we could get that, we would be really happy.
Right.
So then you devise a strategy on how to best attain that, if it is possible, and create your marketing plan and launch, and away you go.
Okay.
And they find out, great, we got it, or, gee, we really missed the mark. What are we missing here? Or nothing's come in after we thought we were really competitive. Or, gee, we thought we were really high, and now we've got offers that are even higher.
Yeah.
So that you're at least you're operating from a premise of informed consent of all the parties and making professional, rational decisions.
Right. Well, Bob, I'm going to close here. So for any of you out there listening to this podcast, if you're thinking of selling in this Tawasin, White Rock, Ladner, Richmond area, Bob is there to help you at RE/MAX Pro Group Realty. And, Bob, your phone number here I've got is 604-946-8000. Is that a good number for you?
That's 946-8000, you bet. And they can always go to my website, which is bobcook.com.
Yes, and Bob, we thank you for the time. We look forward to an update later on in the year to just see how the dust did settle here. But right now, it is for any buyer or seller out there, you do not want to make a mistake without being informed of all the information. And it's really important to get all the data before making decisions.
You bet.
Thanks a
Absolutely,
lot, Bob.
Bill.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
And I'll say goodbye. Bye-bye for
Thanks
now.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, that concludes our initial segment on evaluating the Richmond market and how we experienced a 33% increase in prices in just 6 short weeks. To better understand our evaluation methods and our research, you can listen to the following segment coming up in just a few seconds. And you can also go to the website at CoughlinTeam.com, C-O-U-G-H-L-I-N, CoughlinTeam.com. And we look forward to spending more time with you as this progresses throughout the rest of the year.
Now, Bob, rather than take the 100% of residential home sales, we've narrowed it down into a 25% marketplace. And I picked homes that are between 1,500 and 3,500 square feet and lot sizes from 3,800 square feet to 7,000 and the age of 15 to 50 years old. So we're not doing the brand new ones, we're not doing the lots that are subdividable, and we're not doing the 100-year-old homes that are about to be bulldozed, okay?
Okay.
So, you know, in that sort of little segment, which represents 25% of the market area, here's how the numbers are showing right now. We're showing 43 sales this spring already for the month of January and February, and that is up. That is up 30% over traditionally over last year. We ended up with 143 sales for the 6 months of last January to June. This is looking stronger.
Thank you for listening to Entrepreneur of the Week. This concludes our podcast. We ask you to check in often and continually to follow the update on the Richmond real estate market. Bye-bye for now. Thank you for listening to Entrepreneur of the Week. This podcast has just finished an interview here with Bob Cook from RE/MAX Pro Group, and you can reach him at bobcook.com. Bye-bye for now.